WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go bride! Our soon coming king awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Good morning, bride. Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started today with the idol that we're dealing with, because today is going to be an awesome Bible study. An awesome one, okay? Today we're dealing with a pretty sensitive subject, which will probably make some people upset, but it's an idol we've got to tear down in our nation, okay? It is an idol of careers, okay? It's the idol of careers. I'm going to read what I wrote about it, and then we're going to get pray and study the word that God gave me pertaining to this idol. It's pretty cool, bride. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Okay, so idol number 37 is our careers. Lord, we repent for putting our careers over our families and most of all over you. If you asked us to give up our careers to follow you and we do not, then it's an idol to us. Lord, forgive us for disobedience. Sometimes we will put our career above our family and work too much and neglect our families. It has harmed many families when people work themselves to death and never enjoy the families that God has given them. God wants the families to be whole. Some people put their whole identities in their career. They like being known as lawyer, doctor, professor, etc. However, if they were to lose that career, then they would have no identity. Let our identity be in Christ and not our careers. Sometimes we pour ourselves into our careers to avoid family responsibilities or other obligations in our lives. Sometimes we work for more money, and it's a continual death trap. I want more material things, so I'll work to death and neglect the very things that mean the most, to have nice things versus giving up the extra money to spend time with our families. God knows the matter of the hearts, and Lord, we ask that you examine our motives. On deathbeds, people are not asking for more career or money. They're asking for God and family. Help us, Lord, to get our priorities in order. Heal the body of Christ so that they will obey you above all things. To obey is better than sacrifice. All right, that is our idol of careers. Now listen, bride, when I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do the Bible study on today? It is so funny how he does this. Today he said Luke chapter 12. I'm like, Luke 12, okay. So everybody, let's turn our Bibles to Luke. It's in the New Testament, chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's go to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to examine, what does God have to say about careers in the book of Luke? Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 12. And let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us this morning in this Bible study having to do with careers. Lord, we just seek your face this morning. Lord, we thank you for being able to live another day. Lord, we thank you for giving us breath to live, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that for all of us, there is a reason and destiny that you gave us another day. Lord, we choose to love you in the now and to give you the now and to trust you for tomorrow. Trust you to forgive us for the past, knowing that you have us in the now. Lord, we pray that you use us today for your glory, that we're in the now, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, if you would teach us, lead us and guide us and teach us into all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now y'all know that I use the King James Version. By the way, I've got a praise report, Brian. The team that's going to Washington, D.C., we get to go to the National Bible Museum. And you know what? They have got a whole exhibit. We get to sit in for an hour and learn about the King James and how the King James Bible was made. Remember, I told you, this is my main study Bible, King James Version. Because I read the story, I studied it. I know what happened to King James when he was writing the Bible and converting it over to where the average man could understand it in English. That's why the Catholics tried to kill him 4 or 5 times. So I get to go up there and learn from them. I'm so excited about that. Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 12. Remember, in here I use the Holy Bible app, which is the YouVersion app. And that's that little man that talks to us. Now, Luke chapter 12 is kind of long, so that's why I started a little bit earlier this morning. All right, here we go. All right, Luke chapter 12.
Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known.
Pause. Remember, Bride, we're talking about the judgment this year that's coming down the pipe to America. That is another confirmation. There is nothing that's been hid that God is not going to reveal this year. This is the year of exposure. Let's keep going.
Whatever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops.
Yeah.
And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that killed the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell.
Yes.
I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?
Okay, pause. Being that we're dealing with careers today, a lot of the reason that people do the things that we talked about is based on fear. They're so afraid they're going to lose their house. They're so afraid they're going to lose this. They're so afraid they're going to lose that, that they literally work themselves to death without trusting the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I want to encourage you in this, Brian. Listen, my life is a great example of this, of how God will take care of you when you walk in obedience. I'm not saying everybody has to give up their career and come over to full-time ministry. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is going in the arm of the flesh to survive and to pay for everything can wear you out. The Lord does not want you being wore out, Bride. He wants you in peace. He wants you in rest. He may have an invention for you to invent. He may have a ministry for you to do. He may have a business he wants you to start. Some of you, he's probably already given you the vision in here. He's already downloaded the seed. But you're afraid to step out. You're afraid to step out and obey him because of the loss, the picture over here of the fear of losing everything and the way people would think about you and your family, the way they would react and all this. What is the Lord saying right here? Don't fear all them. Fear him. If he tells you, quit that job and obey me and follow me and go to Bible college. Sell your house, give away everything you got and go to Bible college. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it. He's telling you right here, don't fear the faces of man. Don't fear man. Fear the one that can throw you in hell. The one that is the God above all gods. He is the judge. Let's review it again, Brad. And this is in Luke chapter 12. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, this is verse 4, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do to you. Remember, Bride, I talked to you about martyrdom. People in America are about to start being killed. If they do, they cannot take this. You can cut my arm off my head, but you ain't taking my garden. This is my relationship with God. That's what he's saying right here. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast you into hell. And I say unto you, fear him. That is the word of the day. Fear the Lord. He knows what he knows. He is the one that... He's the author and the finisher of your faith, Bride. You know, I explain to people that every one of you are a book. Did you know that? Every one of you are a book that God wrote before time began. And he said, let's say, who's the last one that signed in? Chanel. Okay, let's say Chanel. Okay, God is up there before time began. And he's like, you know, hey, y'all, let's talk about Chanel. What would we like to display through Chanel? What would we like to reveal to mankind through her life? And that's exactly how it is, Bride. Every one of you are to reveal something different about God to mankind. Every one of you has a book with a destiny that God wrote before time began and said, I want Chanel. If she will give me her life and allow me and trust me, I will turn her book into such magnificent beauty and I will show the world this revelation of who I am through her. But the problem is the world teaches us otherwise. The world puts us in a cookie cutter pattern. You have to do it like this. You have to graduate high school. You have to go to college. You have to have a career. You have to put your family on the back burner. You have to have a house. And you have to have the best house on the street. You have to have the best car. You're nothing unless you have this and this and your material this and your material that. And they have this identity that they want to place upon mankind. But God's identity is completely different. Completely. God's identity is obedience. His identity is obedience. He wants us to clothe in him and then ask him, God, what do you want me to do? You're the one that created me. You're the one that wrote my book. You're the one that designed me. You're the one that gave me all these talents and gifts and all this, Lord. What do you want me to do? And then listen and do what he tells you to do. It's that simple. He will work out all the finite details. That's what he's saying right here, Bride. He says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Because look, all of us are going to stand before the Father one day. We're going to stand before the throne for our own life. And I have prayed with people on their deathbed, Bride, for 18 months. And when they was on their deathbed, they was not concerned. Man, I wish I had a better career. Man, oh, I wish I never got that house I wanted. No, they're not doing all that. Where's my family? I'm in a coma, and I'm going to hold on until my daughter gets here. I'm not leaving this earth until she holds my hand. That is what happens on the deathbed. The family. And then you consider your life. Did I live my life in obedience? Did I do what God told me to do? Lord, please give me another chance. I will come back to earth. I will do what you have called me to do. That's what this Bible study is for today. So see, it's fear that would try to hold you back from obeying God. Let's keep going. Now I think we're in verse 6.
But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
7.
Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows.
All right, now.
Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God.
Pause. Hold on a minute. Come on. What is he saying? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Because some people would say, I'm not going to obey the Lord. No, I am too embarrassed to tell people that God told me to quit my job and that God's telling me to do this. And I'm too ashamed to be doing all that. No, I've got to have this house. I've got to have this car. I can't lessen myself. Oh, no. What will everybody think if I'm not like the Joneses? What? I can't live like that. See what I mean? That's that fear that comes on you. And God's like, okay, you going to be like that? Then if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. It's that simple, folks. Let's keep going.
But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God.
That's right.
And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you at the same hour what ye ought to say.
All right there, Brad. Listen, that goes back to the martyrdom and what's coming down the pipe to the church. We do not have to fear. That's one thing. Get it in your heart. No fear. We can do all things, bride, through Christ who strengthens us. He says right here, do not be afraid if they drag you in front of the synagogues for what you shall say. God will give us the word to say, bride. He will. We just have to trust in him. Let's keep going.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?
That is funny.
And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Whoa! Bam in your face, devil! What is God saying this morning having to do with careers? Let me read it again, bride. Let me read it again. God is so amazing, like him saying, do Luke 12. I'm like, okay, what's in Luke 12? Right here. Take heed and beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? Well, it's when you want what the Joneses have. It's you lusting so much after material things that you work yourself to death and quit living. You lose your family. You lose your identity. Is all soaked up in all your material things. Your identity is all soaked up in your career. What kind of life is that? What kind of priority is that? He says right here, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's right, bride. We've got to get our priorities in order. The kingdom of this world says your identity is in this. Your identity is in your house, your car, your... good morning, everybody. Your house, your car, your job. First thing people ask you when they say that, first thing they ask you is, what do you do for a living? This is our culture. Oh, well, I'm a blacksmith. Oh, okay. All right. Well, what do you do for a living? I'm a doctor. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? I'm a cashier at a grocery store. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a lawyer. Wow, oh, that's awesome. Is that not how our culture is, bride? Now listen, you are listening to a woman that went to college to have the big name, to have the big career. I was doing it the way that my kids were growing up. They were coming out of the nest. I knew I was going to be by myself. I've been single by that time, I don't know, 11 years. Let's say it was 5 years ago, so 12 years. I've been single 12 years. And I wanted to be able to take care of myself. I don't want to be dependent upon a man or, you know, dependent upon people. I went and got the bachelor's degree, and then I got the master's degree and studied in London. And I wanted this big, high-powered career. I wanted to travel the world, you know, and do all the things that my talents and skills had trained me to do. You see what I mean? But after that, God went like this, bam, and shut the door. Get on your face and get right with me. I wasn't right with him. I didn't want to pay the price he wanted me to pay, honestly. So when I got on my face, he said, I want you to use your talents and your skills to help my kingdom, and I'm your boss. And I was like, because I knew I didn't mean this. You know what I'm saying? I knew it. But anyways, the point is, now it's been 5 years. God has proved himself faithful. He has showed the entire world that he has for sure called me. And he has taken care of me with nothing. He has supernaturally opened all these doors and took me across the nation many times and all these other things. But the main thing is the obedience is better than the sacrifice. The obedience is better than the sacrifice. The Lord, and have I been put down? Let me tell you, Brad, I'm just using me as an example. I'm not trying to puff myself up or nothing, but I'm just saying, put down because of the lesser lifestyle. You know, I got my mother's inheritance, okay? I could have used that very small amount of money to move in a big house as a down payment and whatnot. No, I chose to move in a mobile home where I could live and have it paid off and do my ministry, because my ministry is top priority. You see what I mean? Like, I just need somewhere to have my stuff, very basic. When God wants to give me that big, beautiful mansion that he's already showed me in my dreams, it will be there. See what I mean? But it will not be a burden unto me. Come on now. Come on now. Your riches, your wealth, your possessions should not be a burden. It's not that they're wrong. It's not that it's bad to have an airplane. It's not bad to have a mansion. It's not bad to have a Cadillac Escalade, which I know is coming one day. It's not bad to have all those things. It's when it has you. It's when it puts you a burden on your shoulders. Because every day you're like, how am I going to pay for this? What am I going to do? I've got to do something. Because you're so consumed with your material things that you cannot even live. To me, I'd rather live and the material things will come. See what I mean? It's not going to burden me down. Okay, so going back to the scripture here. It says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Let's keep going.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
So he's talking about this rich man that's considering all these nice things that he has. Wow, I think because I've got so much, I'm going to go up here, I'm going to build more barns, and I'm going to put all my plenty over here, and I'm going to do this with that, and this with that. That's what he's saying. Let's go.
But God said unto him, thou fool,
Wow!
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Wow. Drop the mic. Bam! In your face. That is it right there. That was the seal on it right there. That is a stench in God's nostrils. For a person to sit there and just say, look at all these material things that I have done. First of all, bride, one thing we have learned this 40 days of casting down these idols, we can have no other lovers before Him. We cannot give anybody else glory but Him. And what just happened right here, when this rich man sat back and looked at all he had, and he was so proud and so boastful of all these material things, and made all these plans and given himself all the glory for all these things that he had done. And then God looked at him and said, you're losing your life. That is the stench in my nostrils. That's basically what God was saying to him. Let's examine it again in the Word. Isn't the Word amazing, bride? It is so beautiful when God corrects us, when He whips us and corrects us and puts us on the right path. Because, you know, sometimes sin just creeps in, bride. Sometimes this covetousness, we may not even know we did it. But when these idols come up and we see, oh my God, I'm like that rich man. I have sat back and looked at my stuff and just been boastful and proud, like, I have got to have my image. I've got to look so rich in front of my neighbors, and I've got to put on this image at church, and I've got to be the best and have the best. And see, that's taking all the glory instead of giving God the glory. But God said unto him, this is verse 20, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. Then who shall those things which you have provided? Who shall have them? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. So I guess today's idol is another thing of, what is your God, mammon? Or is God your God? Because, you know, where your treasure is, where your money is, where your treasure is, where your heart is, where your treasure is type of deal. Let's keep going. Now we're on verse 22, Brian.
And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on.
Come on.
The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them.
Yes.
How much more are ye better than the fowls?
Yes, Lord.
And which of you, stature one cubit.
Yes.
If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow.
Yes.
They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed,
do y'all hear God right now?
The field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
I just want to cry right now. This is so awesome.
Ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.
Yes, Lord.
But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide your...
All right, let me just pause there because I'm just wanting to cry so much because I think about that song, bride, and I've told y'all the story about the angel that called me and sang to me. I considered this song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing Because I'm happy, I sing. Because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I have a friend one time, she lost her job. And I have this happen a lot with my friends. They know how God has taken care of me with nothing over the past 5 years. And whenever calamity strikes, they'll call me when it has to do with their finances, because they know that God has really strengthened me to trust Him with nothing. And they'll be like, I don't know what to do. I've worked all my life and I've got this big house note and I feel like I'm sinking in my heart. I don't know what to do. I've just always had a job. What do I do? What do I do? You know? And it's because of security in the knowing that that's there, knowing that the tangible money is there. Versus over here, you have to grab it by faith. It is a walk, but let me tell you what happened to that woman. She began trusting in the Lord and just praying and trusting. She began to grab over here and the faith. Do you know God has supernaturally provided for that woman? He has provided for her. She's not been laid on her house, no, not one time. And it's been 6 months. He has supernaturally provided for her. And not only that, her walk with the Lord has went like this. Out the roof. Out the roof. Since she began this faith walk. Trusting in the Lord. Not saying that God is calling everyone to leave their careers and go over to the faith walk. But sometimes He may strip that to put you over here. And where a lot of people, this is where the great test is when they will get over here and get mad at God. They will get mad at Him. Instead of getting on their face and saying, okay, Lord, strip me. Do what you're going to do. I want to go where you want me to go. Do. You know, because let me tell you something. When you listen to the Lord, if He wants you to have a career bride, He will put you up. He will hook you up. He will tell you, I want you to go to McDonald's, and I want you to put in that application, and I want you to do it this way. I want you to go over here to wherever and put in your application. The whole point is obedience. He may want you in that job because there's a soul there He wants you to reach. He has you where He wants you for a reason when you're in obedience. I know a woman, a minister, who works for this company she absolutely hates because they're so mean to her. The persecution is unbearable sometimes. But she stays there because she's in obedience. And the Lord blesses her because she stays in obedience. And something else I want to teach you, bride, that's a nugget that the Lord taught me all these years ago. When the Lord puts you on assignment, if you've not seen anything else out of my life, is how God leads me on assignments, okay? Like these 40 days is an assignment of consecration, okay? When I traveled the nation, those 6 months on the Mega Revival Tour, that was an assignment. So I live by assignments, okay? When the Lord gives you an assignment and He says, okay, I want you to do this for 6 months. You're going to be greatly persecuted for it, but I'm going to be with you. Don't worry. I cannot leave that assignment for nothing. Nothing. Zilch. If God tells me, I want you to go over here. I want you to work for this church for free. I want you to live with them for 5 months. And all this, you cannot leave, right? You cannot leave your assignment when God calls you to something. I don't care how bad the suffering is. I don't care how bad you hate it. God has a reason for you being there. This is the point of today, is obedience. If God called you to that career, He's going to help you and He's going to provide. But our identity cannot be in that career. Our identity cannot be in anything but in Him. We may have our lights shut down tomorrow, Bride. Our house may burn down. Anything could happen. We cannot be shaken by the outward circumstances. We cannot have our identity in the job. We cannot have the identity in the house. We cannot have the identity in the car. God can strip. And He actually said that in the word He gave me for 2018. Whatever is your idol, I'm going to strip it. He's going to take it. He wants to have no other lovers before Him. Period. Period. No other lovers before Him. Okay? Well, let's keep going here, Brad. This is good stuff. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. I love these morning Bible studies.
Ourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth.
Okay, we are over here on... Okay, verse 33. We're in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Now, this is Jesus talking to us, and He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And, Bride, what did He say in the verse before that? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." Seek ye first Him. And let Him lead you where to go. Because then He says, "Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What is the kingdom, Bride? Remember, I taught you this. You have the kingdom of this world, and you have the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of this world has an identity that you should look like. It has rules you should go by. It has societal expectations you should go by. Blah, blah, blah. Over here in the kingdom of heaven says, you have to go by the Ten Commandments. You have to go by God's laws, God's precepts. You have to walk in His identity, and you have to walk in moral standards. This kingdom over here is directly opposite of this kingdom. So He's saying, I can give you the kingdom over here, which means all of your inheritance, all that is due to you, honey. When we're walking in this kingdom, we're married to Jesus. See, we're married, meaning we have all the inheritance of heaven with us. Sell all that you have. Now, this is Jesus. Sell all that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. Wow. He's saying, your treasure should be in heaven. In other words, looking at our life, that it's not temporary. We're permanent. We're eternal beings. See, the world wants us to have our identity in temporal things. Our identity in our house. Our identity in our car. Our identity in our job. Our identity in the family unit. You know, items of temporal pleasures. Okay? Yeah, we might have the satisfaction of looking good in front of the Joneses over here. But what is that accomplishing eternally? We consider what He said previously in the verses when the rich man was over here bragging. Oh, I love all my riches. I'm going to put it all in barns. And I'm boasting and bragging about all my riches. And God said, I'm going to take your life. You're worthless to me. But over here, Jesus is saying, sell all that you got. Don't be living for material things. Don't let that rule you. We have an eternal purpose. We're only here for a short amount of time. I'm turning 50 this year. 50 years have already passed. It seems like one day. It seems like yesterday I was 16 years old and a little girl. Cheering in high school. You see what I mean? That was fleeting moment of time. And I've got, what, 50 years left if God tarries? It's going to be a fleeting moment in time. And then guess what, bride? I'm going to be facing eternity. All of eternity. I will be there forever and ever and ever and ever. And guess what, bride? You are going to read the book of June Dawn Night. Yes, you are. And you're going to say, hey, June, let me read your book, June. I want to see what you did on earth. What did you do? What was your story? How did you show me all the people that got saved through your life? I want to know how you revealed yourself to God. Oh, June, I can't wait to read your book. And then I hand them my book and I'm ashamed. And look, this is what the book looks like. What? Why is your book so small? You lived on the earth 100 years. And your book looks like this? Like a little twig? Yeah, because I wanted to live that. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it. I wanted to make my own rules. I wanted my own life. I liked the way I looked in front of me. But I gave my life to the Lord, and then I just barely lived it. So here you go. Here's my book. And then here comes Johnny Joe. Hey, why don't y'all read my book? Wow, Johnny, what did you do for the Lord? Oh, look. I obeyed him. In your face, devil. I obeyed him. That's going to be the difference, bride. The Lord wrote your book. He has a plan for you. It's the devil lying to you, telling you that you have to do it the way the society says you have to do it. No, you don't. You do it the way God tells you. He knows how to tell you to give money. He knows how to tell you to invent something. He knows how to tell you to... All it takes is one encounter, one day, one encounter for your wealth to totally change. All it takes is obedience to the Lord. Not trusting in your own mind, in your own intellect. Remember, we've already cast down that idol. Trust in the Lord. Did you know that when you walk in faith with the Lord, your intellect goes out the window? Your reasoning goes out the window? Walking by faith goes beyond reasoning. It goes beyond the human intellect. Because that's the walk of faith. Let's continue. Luke 12 here. All right.
Your treasure is there where your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not.
All right, bride, let me just nip this in the bud real quick. In other words, let your light so shine, baby. Let it shine. And let it shine bright. Listen, that old devil wants to sniff you out. He wants to snuff you out. He wants to put your light out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Listen, the devil is the one that wants to sniff out your candle, snuff it out. Come on, we're not going to let him do that. We're going to let our light shine. Lord, shine bright through us, Lord. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Yes, let's examine that again. That is so powerful. Because he says right here, and you yourselves, well, wait, let's back up the one before. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about. You know what I think of when he says that, Bride? I think of, remember I taught you that every morning we get up. What's the first thing we should do? Pray on the armor of God. Lord, I pray on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. My loins gird about with truth. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the garment of praise. Lord, I receive this full armor of God by faith. Lord, I thank you that I'm clothed in you today. I thank you that my identity is in you today. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over me today. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my whole family line. So it says right here. And let's see. Let your loins be girded about, which means I've got my armor on. And let your lights burning. And you yourselves like unto other men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. That when he comes and knocks, that you may open up to him immediately. Bride! What does that tell you right there? Immediately. Not ashamed? Come on now. When you're immediate, you're like, yes. You know, like a reckless abandonment. When he knocks on that door, yes, my groom has arrived. Come in, come in, come in, come in. I can't wait to see you. I'm so excited. That's immediately. If he knocks on the door and you've not been living right, you're like, oh, I'm nervous, I'm nervous. I don't want to see the Lord. I don't want to see him. I've not been living right. I've got this going on and this going on. That's what that means. Immediately. Unashamedly. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us be immediate, Lord. And then he says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Watching. The watchman on the wall. Watching. Meaning we're alert. We're sober and alert. We know what's going on out here. We know what's going on out there and in the spirit. Come on now. Okay. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, which means I'm making a conscious choice to wrap myself in him, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Which means I have a constant awareness that I'm in eternity. You may see me right here. I'm in the flesh. I'm really, though, I'm in eternity. Because I am not living for this flesh. I am not living in the kingdom of this world. This goes back to touching the unclean thing. Why should we partner with an organization like the ecumenical movement that is trying to form the one world religion that's going to take down and kill Christians in the future? Why would we want to partner with that? Do I want to touch the unclean thing? You keep that over there with the kingdom of this world. That has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not touching that thing. I'm not going to participate in it. I'm not going to tickle those demons. We walk in eternity. We're walking in another realm. We're walking in another world. We don't let the kingdom of this world tell us what to do in the kingdom of heaven. We tell it what to do. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. All right, and if he shall come in the second watch, in other words, we're going to keep waiting. And this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. All right, let me just tell you what that means, Bride. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. I have prayed with people on their deathbed and they have regret in their heart. There is nothing worse than having regret in your heart on your last day on earth. That is terrible. Terrible. To lay there in your deathbed and sit back and reflect on your life. Wow. I spent all them years on that career. And now I have no family with me because I had all that money and that was my idol. And that is what I lived for. And now I'm on my deathbed and nobody's coming to visit me. And I'm going into eternity accomplishing nothing. Absolutely nothing. What did it profit me? I had a good house. So what? I can't take that with me. I had a new car and everybody was envious of me in the community. So what? When I die, I can't take it with me. I mean, what have I done to myself? Can you imagine the horror, Bride? I'm telling you. This happens. Can you imagine the horror of being there in that moment? Let me tell you another horror. I'm on my deathbed. Lord, what did you call me to do? I sat in the same church for 40 and 50 years, Lord. And I didn't do nothing but sit on that pew. Lord, what was it you called me to do? What, was there anything I was supposed to do, Lord? And that man that I served the whole time, where's he at right now, Lord? That's another horror story. Every one of you, I'm telling you, every one of you has this. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a book that God wants to finish. He's the author, which means I started June's book, but whether it's finished is up to June. June gets to the point about yay so much in the book. Here, Lord, okay, I'm going to let you take the pen. I'm done. I am absolutely done. You take the pen and you finish this book and I'm taking my hands off. I want to live what you wrote in that book. I'm tired of creating my scenarios and trying to live my life the way I think everybody expects me to and the way I think I expect myself to. I want to know what you have for me, and that's the woman I want to become. Well, Bride, I submit to you, that started 5 years ago in my life. And now I'm like, whoa, it's been 5 years. I am somebody I never thought I'd have been. I've been to New York City. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Los Angeles. I've sat at the King's Table. I've been so many places. Oh, my goodness. What I've done, what the Lord has done. This woman who has been single now 17 years. What the Lord has done. He is taking care of her. She doesn't have to lean upon that. She leans upon the Lord. It's just so amazing what God has done. And I give him the praise because he's finishing that book. And you know what? He still has a lot more to go. And now, one of the revelations God gave me, because in the beginning when he was shredding off all this attachments on my tree of, you know, expectations of men and being upset because now I had all this degree and I wanted my life to be this way and this way. One time I was in Louisiana. And the lady I was with that I was staying with said, hey, I got you a job making $100,000 a year at our church as a communications director. With your skills and what you do, you'd be perfect. And I was, she's like, you need to go in here and apply. And I was like, no, the Lord's got me. I got to have a radio station. He's going to give me a radio station, a TV network and all this. He's going to, you know, he's going to do all this. And then I went in my bedroom, Bride, listen. At this time, I was suffering so bad, not having any money and everything, and the faces of men all looking at me like I, you know, have went off the deep end and whatnot. And so I went back in the living room. I said, I'm applying. I went in there. I went on. And boy, I started dreaming, Brian. Oh, I can't wait. I can have a home. I can have a car, a really nice car. I can have money. Oh my God, to have money again and to have money that I know will be there all the time. Yes. Oh yes, I want this job, Lord. I want. Please give me this job, Lord. Look, I can do everything that you've trained. You know, I'm reasoning all this in my mind. I can do everything that you've trained me to do, Lord. I can still do it in church. I can, look, the church is even going to provide me a car, Lord. Yeah. I want this job. So I did it. I applied. I went to sleep. The Lord come to see me in my sleep. You talking about a whipping. He comes to me in my sleep and he said, go, because they had this cross out in the driveway, you know, a wooden cross. And the Lord told me, he said, get up, go out there to that cross and nail your life to that cross. He said, and he told me exactly how to do it. Remember, I told y'all that the Lord shows me how to do things in dreams. He'll show me how to make logos, how to do missions. You know, he gives me all these instructions in dreams. So here's what he told me. He said, I want you to take some post-it notes and I want you to write on there, wanting a job. Take that post-it note, take a nail and a hammer, and nail it to the cross. Missing my children. Everybody abandoning me. Society's expectations of me. Wanting a house. Wanting a car. You know, all these things that I was feeling in my heart that I was missing and that was pulling at me. I was nailing it to the cross. And listen, I went out of my bedroom after I woke up from the dream. I went into the kitchen and the girl that I was staying with was weeping. She said, June, I've got to repent to you. I said, for what? She said, the Lord whipped me all night. I mean, he whipped me all night. He told me that you are his. And for me to take my hands off you, that you are not to have that job, and to let you go, you cannot stay here. Because see, she told me I could stay there and live for free. And I mean, it was the dream, you know. I looked at that woman, I said, well, guess what? The Lord whipped me and told me I have to go outside and nail myself to that cross. Do you have hammer, nails, and post-it notes? And she said, yes, I do. She gave it to me. I go out there and I lay a little blanket down. And I'm looking at this cross, bride. I pray I can do this without crying. It was the most beautiful sunny day. Oh, it was so beautiful. I love being out there early in the morning. And I'm sitting there and I said, Lord, I'm going to nail my life and my thinking to the cross. And I put the first post-it note, wanting a job, nail. Missing my children, nail. And as I'm doing it, in my mind, I'm seeing Jesus literally on the cross. And I'm seeing him taking those nails. And I'm out there just weeping. I'm dying, see, I'm killing my flesh. I'm weeping. And I looked up when I got finished, bride. This is how vain I was. I had that whole cross full of post-it notes. And I looked at that and all of it on the cross. And I thought about Jesus and all the suffering he went through and how I'm whining about my suffering. I'm whining about not having a house and a car and all this. And here's Jesus. And he suffered for me and he died for me. And I sat there and I looked at that cross and I said, I'm so sorry. You know, because when you're suffering,
you want to reach out, you want relief. And I thought that job was my relief in my suffering. And so I was crying to the Lord. And I just got on my face and I was weeping. And I'm like, Lord, please, I'm so sorry. When I got finished, guess what he told me, Brad? I had a pile of tissues about this much because I was sobbing and just snot everywhere. And they was all soaking wet like this. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to take all those post-it notes off and those wet tissues. Listen to what he told me. And I want you to go over there. And I want you to light them on fire and I'm going to consume that myself. And let me tell you what happened, Brad. I took the tissues like this. I was trying to be smart in my own mind, trying to figure out how to burn it all. And so I put the wet stuff, the wet tissues on the bottom. And then I put the post-it notes on the top, which was my life. I got a lighter and I got them burning thinking it would consume this. And guess what God did, Brad? I sat there on the end of the porch and I was watching it, you know, burn. All of a sudden, this little funnel cloud come down from heaven like this. And it went pew, like a spark and it goes pew, 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 north, south, east, and west. And went pew, and consumed it. Sucker was gone. And the Lord said, your repentance has brought you the nations from the north, south, east, and west. I sat there just boo-hooing like, oh my gosh. I mean, the death that us Christians have to go through. I mean, listen, people will never know the calling, never know the price that you have to pay for a ministry. You know, not really just a ministry, but the price that you have to pay for your destiny. You know, but God does. Okay. So I hope that helps you, that little story. What time is it? 7:50. Okay, we're just going to listen to this man and finish out this chapter, and then I got to go. All right, let's keep going.
And Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable?
41, verse 41. Due season.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath.
Yes, Lord.
But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And as an hour.
In other words, it's our heart.
The Lord saying right here, if you know to do it and you don't do it, you will answer to the Lord for it. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. Wow. God, help us to obey. Help us, Lord, to obey you. All right, now.
And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
All right.
I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division.
All right, pause right there. Come on now. Listen, the word of God is a sword. It divides. These people, they want to be tolerant and not be able to speak truth. That's what that is. This is the truth. And it will divide. That's what he's saying right here. I am come to divide. Not saying the division of the races we have. Now, that's not God. That is a satanic attack. All right, let's keep going.
From henceforth, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother.
Remember, you can't love any other person more than him.
And the daughter-in-law against
you can't love your children more than him, your husband, his wife, nothing.
When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern at this time?
Wow, do you know what he's saying, Brad? You people on the earth, and this is what, remember last night, Belinda, hey Linda, remember last night we was talking about when we had that prophet on there, and we said, how can you have one prophet over here saying, judgment's coming, but we're going to take over the earth. Everything's going to be great. There's nothing, you know, bad ahead. Then you have this prophet over here that's saying, judgment's coming to the house of the Lord. And because of what we've done to the nation's about to pay the heavy price for it. This one, the nation's not going to pay a price for what they have done. But the judgment's coming to the corrupt, you know, but it's not, which they consider this side doomsday, but then this side considers them in grave error because this side is not preparing the bride. I look at that as, we have to be prepared, people. It is coming. It's been written. All this stuff is written that it's going to end like this. Why are we afraid of it? It's our, if he chose for us to live in the last day when the mark of the beast is coming, the Antichrist is coming and all that, hallelujah, glory be to Jesus. He chose us to live for such a time as this. We're living in the greatest time on planet Earth. But how can you discern all of the sky like the eclipse and all this stuff's happening, but you can't see that we're at the end of times and the Antichrist is about to come on the scene? And that the mark of the beast is here and people are already taking the chip? How can you not see all this? That's what he's saying right here. Let's go. Now we're on verse 57. Almost done.
Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison.
Martyrdom.
I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
All right, Brad, this chapter was amazing. Amazing. What God has spoken to us today. Listen, when it comes to the career, it all boils down to this, Brad. Are you obedient to the Lord? Did the Lord tell you to do that career, or does he tell you to do something else? Whatever you do, let it be to the glory of God. The obedience is the key, and that's where your blessings are. Your obedience is where your wealth is, not in the natural way man tells you to do something. That is the kingdom of this world's identity versus God's identity. How will you know, you say, time with God? You pray. And you sit with him, Lord. All right. You know all this is happening in my life, Lord. I want to hear from you. I'm going to shut off all the noise. I'm going to shut off all this around me. And I want to seek your face. You said in your word right there in Luke chapter 12, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So I'm seeking. I want to know. I'm not leaving here until you tell me what is my destiny, Lord. I want to know because I've already lived 50 years of my life, okay? I see what I've done back here. I see the non-legacy that I'm leaving. I want to leave a legacy. I want to change this world. And I want to know that what I'm doing is what you have called me to do. So for the rest of my life, you've got it all. Forgive me for not giving you all my past. But over here, I'm turning. I'm repenting, and I'm turning. You can have this, Lord. What do you want me to do? So let me pray for you real quick, and I got to get with my team. Lord, I pray for everybody watching this broadcast that today they will hand their pen to you. God, take the pen to my life and finish my book the way that you have me to, God. And that they would hear your voice clearly to know what their destiny and their calling is. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, bride, I love you. Today, if this idol bothers you, cast it down. Quickly repent. That's what we've been doing on this team. We've been dealing with these idols, and we've been quickly repenting and asking the Lord to heal us so that we can all be healed in this nation. Amen. All right, love you, bride. God bless you.